there are certain topics that you can have socially that never fail to elicit conversation. In Toronto, they can be, I think right now, you want to open it up with, hey, did you hold your nose when you got gas today? How nuts was that?
Yeah.
To, I drove by a Costco. They got barricades out on the street because so many people are trying to get in. That's a good one.
For sure.
It's a banger. Summertime, it's all about air conditioning. And any other time you want to just unite a room of, you know, anybody over the age of 30, you can talk about having trouble sleeping. Everybody's got their issues, right?
This is massive for you.
Yeah, this is massive for me. I can't, no matter how hard I try, I can't sleep more than 5 hours at a time. Doesn't matter when I go to bed. Go to 11, going to be up at 4, go to bed at midnight, going to be up at 5, and I've just kind of learned to live with it. I'm at the point where it's kind of like it's my time, right? I'm the only one up in the house that early, so I kind of learned to deal with it, and sometimes I can get a little bit of sleep later on in the day, but that's just something that I'm used to. So when I read a story like this, you know, it's certainly rather interesting, that's for sure. For a lot of people, in one of the largest studies ever done on sleeping, the results say that they could actually be strongly linked to mental illness, those troubles that you have sleeping. People diagnosed with mental illnesses in their life more than likely to have poorer sleep quality compared to the general population. The study done by CAMH, the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. Srijoy Tripathi is here, senior author and independent scientist at CAMH at the Krumbel Center for Neuroinformatics. And Srijoy, I think I just learned my pay today because that's the first time I've read your name and your title, and I think I nailed it.
I think you did. You must be one of the first people I know who pronounced my name right.
Oh, good.
My title, you know, the whole center, that was great, and that was a perfect lead-in.
So let's talk about it. Let's get into this. What is the correlation here between mental illness and restless nights?
Yeah, so essentially we found that in this, you know, very, very large study of 100,000 people, we found that people who had a diagnosis of mental illness in their lifetime, they tended to have changes in their sleep patterns, usually for the worst. And so what we did is we used this really incredible data set out of the UK where they gave 100,000 people these smartwatches called accelerometers. And so what those watches do is they basically measure movement of the wrist. And so we use the data out of that, basically when people are jiggling their wrist at night, to infer when people are sleeping and when they're awake and when they're restless. And then we basically tried to figure out, okay, well, when are people sleeping? And so we also cross-referenced that data with people with the information about when people had diagnoses of mental illnesses. And we found that people with mental illnesses relative to the normal population, they tended to get up more at night. They tended to be more restless. They tended to spend more time at night awake. And all of these patterns were for the worse. And we looked across four disorders. We looked across major depressive disorder, anxiety, bipolar disorder, mania, and schizophrenia. We found that all of the changes, all of the directions were in the direction of, you know, worse sleep quality. And so we were really struck by that, and we were struck by just how consistent all the changes were across these disorders.
It's, you know, for me, I look at this and, you know, obviously you're going to be able to answer the question far better than I ever could, but is it a chicken or the egg situation where, you know, the studies show that my issues like anxiety and depression could be a result of my not sleeping, but at the same time, could my not being able to sleep lead to my issues with anxiety and depression as well?
I think you hit the nail on the head. Honestly, scientists, we would say the relationship is bidirectional. Poor sleep causes mental illness. Mental illness causes poor sleep. And with this study, we weren't really able to disentangle, which really causes the other. We can merely just associate that in people who have diagnosis of mental illness, they tend to sleep more poorly. But exactly, you know, what causes what, we can't really tell in this study.
What about solving the problem? Did you take a look at what may aid these people, whether it be therapy, some type of medication, something that could improve those mental health outcomes?
You know, I think we're definitely interested in improving sleep. With the study, we made use of this really large data set out of the UK, and it's really great in that it, you know, allows us to study sleep in 100,000 people, thousands of them with a diagnosis of mental illness. But we're really interested in sort of following up on this study using using our clinical data sets and patients at CAMH. We're just about to start a study at CAMH where we're going to enroll with a small pilot set of 120 people who are receiving care for major depressive disorder. And we're going to give them the same sort of smartwatches that the people in the UK wore. And then we're going to sort of track their sleep as they're getting treatment for their major depressive disorder at CAMH. We really want to know, like, you know, if, you know, people are getting an antidepressant and their symptoms are improving, how is their sleep improving? Or is it not improving? And so that really will help us disentangle, you know, how are sleep improvements or how is, you know, basically how is sleep more related to, you know, someone's actual experience of their mental illnesses and disorders.
I assumed we were going to get this question, and we've got it in droves this afternoon on our text board at 7:10:10. And maybe you can clarify this. How do you know that the wrist jiggling isn't something else when it comes to, you know, movements and that type of thing while you're doing the test itself?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think, you know, all of these devices, you know, the smartwatches that we're using in this study, you know, you think about a Fitbit or you think about an Apple Watch, none of these devices are really measuring sleep. They're measuring movement, they're measuring your heart rate. These are all proxies for sleep. And so these, you know, the algorithms that we use, they're actually trained on, you know, they're trained on a set of another people that they're wearing these smartwatches, and then they're also wearing these, like, pretty fancy, like, brain electrode measuring devices called electroencephalographies. And so I don't know if you guys have ever had a sleep study done.
Yeah, I have.
You have, right? Yep. So you go into a clinic, and it's kind of an awful experience. It's sort of, you're, like, all attached to electrodes, and you have to, like, try to sleep, and you're wearing this, like, pretty intrusive cap. So that, you know, all of this data is trained on those types of devices. And then, you know, we basically found that there's a fairly good correlation between wrist jiggling and heart rate and what we're able to measure objectively about when people are sleeping from these brain cap electrode devices. But really, I think the advantage of the study is that, you know, you can just measure sleep in so many more people just by giving them one of these smartwatches. You know, you can measure sleep in the context of someone's own home as opposed to them coming into the clinic. It just makes it so much easier to measure sleep.
Was there a time historically through your research that, you know, that we as a civilization slept better than ever? Like, was it the 50s? Was it the 40s? Was it before the advent of electricity? Like, was there a time where, you know, you just worked so hard that you went to bed at dusk and got up at dawn?
Oh my gosh, that's a really fantastic question. You know, honestly, I feel like that's a question for a sociologist or an anthropologist. Mm-hmm. I'm a neuroscientist, but I can't really answer that question. But you have to think, you know, with our modern society, with smartphones, with, you know, everything, everything's kind of go, 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 right? And it's, you know, I think there's been a lot of advantages to modern society, but perhaps a disadvantage is that people are maybe sleeping less, maybe they're getting up more at night, we have all these pings from our smartphones. We don't really know how that's affecting our sleep. We don't know how that's affecting our mental health. And we really need more studies like this one and the ones we have planned to really disentangle, like, you know, how have all these changes really been for the better?
So if there's anybody that can't sleep overnight tonight that's having some insomnia and they want to get all the details of this study, is it available online to read?
Yeah, totally. You can just Google, what would you Google? Yeah, I think the study so for sure it's online to read. If you just Google PLOS Medicine and my name,
okay,
you'll find the study. Free to read. Anyone could read it. There's a really good write-up in the Star on Friday. There's been a number of write-ups that are free to read. And
if anybody writes us, we'll be sure to send along all of the info as well and get them onto your study. Listen, we really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Ryan and Jay. It's been a pleasure.
That's Srijoy Tripathi, senior author and an independent scientist at CAMH's Kremble Center for Neuroinformatics.
You love it. I mean, I don't want to say you love this stuff, but I think you're fascinated by this stuff. And I kind of tag along because I'm outside of kids waking me up in the middle of the night like my daughter did last night at 2:30 because she was afraid of the shadows in her room. I sleep really well, mainly because I'm just exhausted.
And you're just out like a light.
Yeah. So I find it very interesting. And, you know, you have shared some of your journey when it comes to sleep studies and you know, machinery and wearing the hats and all that kind of stuff.
If you ever want to have the feeling of being kidnapped with the bonus of everybody watching you with electrodes attached to all of your body, I wholeheartedly suggest the sleep study.
That doesn't sound like something I want.
It's super helpful, though, if you need something like a CPAP or you want to figure out at least what's behind some of your issues with sleep. You can just talk to your doctor and they'll recommend one for you.